Christian Church Disciples of Christ Monday Manna Bible Study. We are here, Dr. Murray and Dr. Murray, waiting for YOU. Come on in, y'all.
Yeah, we're excited. As you can see, Lady Kim is raring and ready to go. And we praise God for each of you who are going to participate and be a part of this study tonight as we prepare for Leviticus, the 19th chapter. And there are about 37 verses there. And so we're going to jump in tonight. This is a very interesting chapter and perhaps one of the pivotal chapters in all of Old Testament that connects with the New Testament and gives us some real handles that will help us. And we're going to try to make this relatable so that you can apply it to your life even today. So let us know you're getting a clear signal and that we've worked through all of the kinks. We talked to all of the people last week and they said we shouldn't have any more issues. They went through and they dissolved all of the problems that we were having the last couple of weeks, Lady Kim. And so we're certainly grateful. So let us know you're getting a clear signal. And somebody give us a thumbs up that the sound is coming in. We're going to be in Leviticus, the 19th chapter. And there are 37 verses there, a lot to cover. And so we praise God for this day. And we praise God for his keeping power. And we thank him for we realize and we're confident in the fact that in him we do live, move, and have our being. And we understand clearly tonight that we are nothing without him. And so we get in a clear signal all the way from Los Angeles, California.
Amen.
Dr. John Tunstall, good to have you on the call tonight. Well, let's go ahead and get started as we prepare for this time together. Let's have a word of prayer. God, we're extremely grateful for this day, and we do thank you for our lives. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you for we realize and we're confident in the fact that in you we do live, move, and have our being. And we know that we're nothing without you. So God, we ask tonight that you would just give us attentive ears to your word and that you, oh God, might create within us clean hearts and renew right spirits. And then God, that we might gladly receive your word. Something powerful happens when we gladly receive your word. And so we pray that this word will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And we pray for each person that's going to join us on this particular study tonight. Now, God, we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. So we love you and we honor you and we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray, and those who love God said amen. Somebody give God a thumbs up. Amen. Somebody say amen. We praise God for each of you. Well, this is indeed the day that the Lord hath made.
Yes.
And we have a responsibility to rejoice and be glad in it. If you are under the sound of my voice and God woke you up this morning, then you have a right, you have a reason, and you have a responsibility to yet give him praise. Isn't that right, Lady Kim?
That's right.
All right. Well, another exciting day in the house on yesterday as we gathered at ATOP. And we're so grateful for all of those who continue to support this Monday Manna Bible study and also who participate in all of the different functions and activities that we have in the life of the church. Yesterday was our Outreach Sunday, and we had a busload going out into the fields and ministering to those who were in need. And so we're certainly grateful for our volunteers who continue to respond and those who tremendously give toward that
Amen.
Effort.
Yes.
And I know yes. Lady Kim is fresh off of her trip from last week, and she came in at the tail end of the study, well, about middle ways of the study last Monday, but she was not in the worship service on last Sunday. She was traveling and celebrating and hanging out in Nashville. But she made it back to the sanctuary this Sunday. And I tell you, you know, a whole lot has inspired, a whole lot has transpired. Okay, all right, Miss Teacher, I'm going to get it right if you stop pinching me under the table. But We praise God for her safe arrival back into the sanctuary. And the people were excited to see you yesterday, Lady Kim, as we had honored you and just continue to celebrate you finishing all of the requirements necessary in order for you to receive your doctorate of ministry. And mm-hmm. so we praise God for each of the people who were able to respond. And we're certainly grateful for the members of ATOP and those who gave you all kind of kudos online and all of those kind of things. Mm-hmm. All right. So anything you want to say before we join, prepare for a recap of yesterday's study. That was youth and young adult ministry, I believe, that assisted in the outreach mm-hmm. on yesterday.
And I got the report that they had the bus was full and that the young people did an outstanding job on yesterday serving those who were food insecure. So they said the park was had a lot of people there, a lot of families and children were in the park that they delivered meals to as well as to the shelters. And so I heard it was a great experience and turnout our youth and young adults at ATOP. So we thank them and we thank the adults that went along.
That's right. And our bus driver, the capable, the one, Whitmore, mm-hmm. who continues to be consistent, and then several of our men who continue to be faithful in making sure that our outreach efforts continue to go forth. And we're grateful for them as well.
Amen.
All right. Give us a little recap in terms of the notes you were able to retrieve from yesterday's worship experience.
All right. The title of the sermon for yesterday was My House Shall Be Called a House of Prayer, from Matthew, the 21st chapter, verses 12 through 16. And it talked about how Jesus went into the temple, and when he saw what was going on in the temple, he got angry. People think Jesus didn't get angry, but Jesus got angry.
That's right.
How do I know he got angry? Because he said he went in the temple and he overthrew the tables. Right. Now, I don't know people that are not angry that turn over tables and, you know, overthrew the tables of the money changers and those that sold doves in the temple. And he was angry because they had turned the temple into something other than what it was created to be. And you were really, you really expounded on that text that sometimes we turn God's house into things that it's not intended to be. So you talked about the priority, the power, and the praise, and that a house of prayer produces a house of power.
Okay.
And so God's house, it says, shall be called a house of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus told us what his house should be, he also turned it around and said what they had made it into.
Right.
So he said, you had made it into a den of thieves, because they were selling sacrifices that were not honorable to God. They were selling broke winged doves and one-eyed pigeons and mm-hmm. you know, things that weren't acceptable, because God wants the best. He wants the sacrifices to be without spot or blemish. And so they were cheating people in the temple. And God said, you have made this a den of thieves, but my house shall be called a house of prayer. So a house of prayer produces a house of power. You said no prayer, no power. And you know what I thought about when you said that?
No, what did you
think? No prayer, no power. K-N-O-W prayer. No prayer. K-N-O-W, no power.
Okay.
So if you know prayer, if you know how to pray, you know you're going to get some power.
Okay.
So that's one of the nuggets that I had gotten. And God has given us access to him through prayer, the medium of prayer. So don't forget to give God praise for what he's already done and what he's doing right now. And we can praise him through prayer. We can praise him through meditation. We can just praise him in the dance. We can praise him in worship. I give God praise for all that he's done. And the enemy wants to destroy our relationship with God and our fellowship with God. And prayer is about connecting to the heart of God. When we connect to the heart of God, we drive out the enemy. You know, we disrupt what the enemy tries to do. So we need to make sure that we connect to the heart of God. And then I like when he said, you know, when Jesus said that my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves. You know, the church may not be filled with a den of thieves, but we may, our churches have become concert halls, you know, where we put on concerts on Sunday instead of giving God worship, the focus being on God. God's house has become the barbecue selling church, you know, the God's house has become whatever, you know, that is ungodly that's going on. Well, I can't say ungodly, the things that take the focus from God.
Yeah.
You know, because there's nothing wrong with selling barbecue, but that shouldn't be the focus of it.
Right.
You know, there's
right.
nothing wrong with having a concert, praising God through song, but that should not be the focus. So sometimes we lose focus on what we come to church for. Sometimes we just come to hear the music, you know. But that shouldn't be the focus. Our focus should be on worshiping and praising God.
Okay. I'm getting antsy over here and ready to shout. That's a great recap, I tell you, because, you know, it's not so much when we look at the cultural aspect of this text, and you were clear that they had started almost prostituting the people right there in the entrance of the sanctuary or the house of prayer. And they were really being what you might call long sharks and everything else. And as Jesus was making his way, that was his first objective and his primary priority, to make sure that the house would become what it was designed to be. And so he cleaned the temple. Mm-hmm. And whenever we are out of touch and not connected to the power source, and we are not getting any victory as a result of our prayers, then that's a clear indication that we have made the house something other than what God
Amen.
Would have it to be. And so we have to clean the temple. We have to clean the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so that those who are in need of healing and deliverance, that's where the latter part of that text talks about. After he cleaned the house, then he brought in those who needed to be healed and who needed to be delivered, who needed mm-hmm. to be set free.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to drive out evil, mm-hmm. what he did, and you have to demand prayer. And then there is deliverance from problems. And so oftentimes I think people get lost in the process because they are feeling empty and void of answers to their prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And many times it's because they have made the house something other than what it is designed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't lose sight of the number one priority. That's part of it. Our number one priority, if we get back to prayer and we make God's house, we allow God's house to be what he wants it to be, we'll see people being healed and delivered
Amen.
And set free.
I believe
but
that.
If nobody's being saved, nobody's coming forth, nobody's joining the church, nobody's being baptized, that's a clear signal that we made the house something other than what it is designed to be. Would you agree with me on
that's
that, Lady
right.
Kim?
That's right.
And so we praise God for that word. It was just a refresher word. It was a word, a timely word that helps us keep our focus, because you can even make that personal, because our bodies are the temple of God.
Right.
And so many times when we're absent of power, even in our own individual lives, it's a sign that we have some excess baggage and some things that need to be cleared out of, cleansed or cleaned up in our own bodies in order for us to present them as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. That's our reasonable service.
Yes.
And so that's what God requires of us. And we will see the evidence of us being connected with God in such a way that we're trying to live our lives in accordance with what he would have for us to do.
Amen. That's
and
right.
so, I think there was a very pressing issue because Jesus was at the height of his popularity. Mm-hmm. He was making his way to Calvary's cross, mm-hmm. but he stopped through the temple to make sure and reminded them of what the house was supposed to be.
Amen. And it's a reminder for us today.
That's right.
That the house is a house of prayer. So if you go to a church and there's more singing than prayer going on, that's a problem.
Okay.
You know, so we have to keep prayer as our main focus. One thing at a time, you can get a prayer through.
Yeah, it's going to get prayed for.
We're going to begin with prayer.
That's right.
We're going to end with prayer.
In the middle with prayer.
Yes.
And so it's always a lot of praying. And then we have several intercessory prayer groups that's going forth throughout mm-hmm. the week. And so we have to make sure that that's our focus. Yeah. The house should be a house of prayer.
Yes. And, you know, you also talked about how we should never think that we have arrived.
Okay.
You know, don't believe the hype. You know, we mm-hmm. think we get to a certain point in our life that we don't really need God anymore, that right. we don't need to pray, that we don't need to spend time in God's word. But don't believe that hype.
That's right.
Don't celebrate yesterday's victories too long.
Okay.
Because as soon as you celebrate too long, here comes something else that's going to be thrown in your way.
That's right.
If you're not prayed up, you know, if you don't stay prayed up, you can be caught off guard. So Jesus made full proof of his calling. He wasn't sidetracked by what he was supposed to do.
That's right.
He went straight to the temple. He straightened them out at the temple, and then he continued on with his mission. And so that's what we have to do. We have to get, you know, in our mind what our mission is from God and get busy and get to work.
Okay. You're preaching good, thank you, Kim. So you're right on point. And so we praise God for each of you on the call tonight. Just doing a little recap from our service on yesterday, our worship experience. And that was in Matthew, the 21st chapter. For those of you who were not able to be with us in person or online, you can go back and view that on our website at anointedtemple.org. But we praise God for how he blessed in the house on yesterday. And we had one person to come for baptism and then another to come to be a part of Anointed Temple of Praise. And so the Lord continues to add to the church daily, such as should be saved. And so we praise God for the message getting through. I even mentioned that some people have allowed God's house to become a place where they look for the right mate and mm-hmm. the right. And I had somebody come in, up to me after service and say, "Pastor, I thought you were talking about me yesterday because I'm really looking for somebody. I just want to let you know." I said, "No, I don't even know nothing about what's going on, but make sure you have the right priority as you move forward. And God's going to honor and bless you with what you need."
Was it a female?
I'm not going to do that because I'm not trying to expose anybody. I could call their name, but I'm not.
No, I was just going to know what.
It was a male.
Okay. Well, that's because if it was a female, I was going to say, well, the Bible said that he did find the wife. So if she was looking, then she needed
to
stop.
Some women do look.
Yes,
Reverend,
absolutely.
So, but I didn't want to just get into that because they perhaps might be even on tonight, and I don't want them to think that, well, you know, Pastor, I can't talk to him because
he's going to tell.
That's right.
He's going to tattle, huh?
That's right. And I got a hat from my good friend, Brother Barnett. He said, "Be careful what you say around me because it might be a part of my next sermon." And so, but no, it was a good day yesterday,
it
and
was.
We praise God for each of you.
Yes.
And we thank God for his Spirit's abiding presence in the house. And so we're going to jump into the 19th chapter of Leviticus tonight. How many verses is it, Lady Kim?
I think it's 37. You said 37.
That's mm-hmm. what I thought. I looked at it twice, mm-hmm. but it's 37 verses here. And this is a very pivotal chapter in Leviticus because mm-hmm. it's considered to be one of the greatest chapters in the Old Testament.
Mm.
And it's part of that that whole Old Testament concept of what happened in the New Testament, even on the Sermon on the Mount.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see a lot of similarities here because the content of this particular chapter can even be related to the Ten Commandments. But you'll see a whole lot of similarities here and a connect here as it relates to the Sermon on the Mount and the Ten Commandments that were distributed in Exodus. And mm-hmm. so this is a very key chapter. Mm-hmm. God has already set the tone and the tenor for what he's expecting of the children of Israel. He's already gone through all of the ceremonial laws, right? Mm-hmm. And all of the offerings that were necessary. Yes. He talked about the do's and the don'ts last week when it comes to sexual immorality. Mm-hmm. And he talked about the importance of what you need to do in order to be forgiven of your sins, right, and the kind of sacrifice that need to be presented. But not only that, he talked about what's necessary in order for you to stay in proper standing with God. As I often say, Lady Kim, our behavior ought to match our belief. And what we believe about God should line up with the way we carry ourselves.
That's right.
And I think a lot of that is going to come out in Absolutely. This particular chapter here tonight. Yes. Only 37 verses. It's rich and it's powerful. And there is a definite connect to us even today as to how we apply some of these things to our everyday existence.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, I like to use some notes from, I write notes or use notes from a study called To Be Like Christ.
Okay.
And I like the way that the gentleman, I can't think of his name right now, the way he breaks it down. And he said this 19th chapter of Leviticus, he says verses 1 through 8, God calls the Israelites to holiness.
Okay.
And I think it's a mirror reflection on how we need to behave in today's times.
That's right.
And then he said verses 9 through 18, it talks about how God is telling them to love their neighbor as themselves.
Mm-hmm. And you then, see the connect in the Old and the New Testament,
yeah, connecting up there, and the Ten Commandments.
That's right.
Connecting
That's right.
up there. And then the last verse is 19 through about 37. It talks about just some miscellaneous laws, mm-hmm, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He said he didn't know how to describe the end of it, but he just named it miscellaneous laws that God has set down for us.
Okay.
And so it was really, really interesting.
All right. What's the name of that study again? Some people might...
To Be Like Christ.
To Be Like Christ. Mm-hmm. And it's online?
Yes.
Okay, and so you can pull that up and be able to get some additional information to help you. And we always say the commentaries and all of that are really good and helpful, but you need to immerse yourself in the scripture the first, mm-hmm, and then allow that to complement or to help open up the scripture for you.
Right.
And don't allow that to be your main source or your main focus. Because just as God spoke to those who wrote those particular commentaries or whatever they might be, he's the same God who will speak to you. And it will give you confirmation. And I believe that the word will connect in such a way that it will open you up to what God is saying personally to you as it relates to your behavior and what you're going through in your own life.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So you want to go ahead and read a couple of verses?
Yes. Yes.
You got a new look on us for tonight. And so is that working for you?
I'm struggling and straining, but I'm going to be all right.
All right.
Let's go to verses 1 through 8. How about that?
Okay. That's
right.
Good.
I'm reading from the Message Bible tonight. It says, we're in the 19th chapter of Leviticus. God spoke to Moses, "Speak to the congregation of Israel. Tell them, be holy because I, God, your God, am holy. Every one of you must respect his mother and father. Keep my Sabbaths. I am God, your God. Don't take up with no God idols. Don't make gods of cast metal. I am God, your God. When you sacrifice a peace offering to God, do it as you've been taught, so it is acceptable. Eat it on the day you sacrifice it and the day following. Whatever is left until the third day is to be burned up. If it is eaten on the third day, it is polluted meat and not acceptable. Whoever eats it will be held responsible because he has violated what is holy to God. Mm-hmm. That person will be cut off from his people.
Okay, okay. Well, what really jumped out for me, Lady Kim, as you were reading that, and all of it is rich, but he starts out by letting them know that they are to be holy, as the Lord, their God, is holy.
That's right.
And so that's a clear sign that we should try to live our lives in a way that brings glory and honor to God.
Amen.
And he is our ultimate example. He is the one that we should model our lives after. And so I know that's a high charge and a high challenge for many people, because when we look at the ultimate sacrifice and the ultimate model, it's very hard for many times people to maintain that kind of consistency in their own lives. But Amen. It sets the tone for us to know what we should strive toward.
Amen.
You follow
That's
me?
That's right.
And so he said, be holy. Live like Christ. Do what God would have you to do. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Isn't that what he said?
That's the word. Okay. Yes. Yes. He wants us to mirror or mimic his holiness.
Okay. Okay.
And, you know, and that second verse states it clearly. It says, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
He wants us to be just like him.
Right, right.
And we do this by keeping God's commands, some of which are restated in the verses that I read.
That's right, that's right. Because that third verse where he talks about how they should fear their, every man should fear his mother and his father. And I think this command really kind of sets in place the fact that if a child is taught to respect his parents, and this is key to even what we're going through even in our lives today, and for God's day, then he will be more likely to have respect for the commandments of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So if a child is taught the ways of God in the house,
Amen.
Then when that child becomes old, it won't be difficult to turn them, because they've already been rooted and grounded in biblical principles and teaching, and they've seen the example lived out. And the respect factor is key, because today people have lost respect. They have no respect. They have no sense of understanding how important life is and taking another person's life. And so that all starts in the house.
In the house.
And if they grow up like wild weeds, and then you try to corral them after they are 19, 20, 15, and 16, then they've already developed to a point of getting doctrinated into the things of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were talking about last week, you have to go through a process with it, and you have to stay with them in order to get them back on track. But if you start them out the right way, that's why I was so excited to see Brother Eddie and Sister Shanta. Okay, all right, Reverend, you gonna just give me a little lesson here tonight, right? And okay, Shanta, and what's the daughter
Aaron.
Name? Okay, is it Aaron? Did I say that right?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Aaron? Okay, I just want to make sure. But no, that they set a model before she came down to say she wanted to be baptized. Mm-hmm. She saw something in the house.
Yeah.
And it's not always, sometimes we want to bring the children to school and to church and expect them to gather the information that they should already had received in the house. And we serve as reinforcements in the church and in the school for what should be already taught in the house.
That's right.
Oh, I said a mouthful right through there.
That was good, Reverend.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
They saw, Aaron saw an example in her parents.
Absolutely.
That made her want to accept the same kind of God that they serve.
Yeah.
So we just thank God for their example, the example of Eddie and Shonda Chavez, for, you know, setting a model and a standard in the house,
right,
in their own house, so that when they brought their, when they bring their children, those children understand the word, and they want to, you know, serve the same God that their parents
serve. So she was excited. She was ready to, even before the invitation was extended, she was moving around trying to let Dr. Qualities know that, hey, something's going to happen. I feel the Lord moving me to do something today. And so it didn't take long when the invitation was extended for her to come down the aisle and make her first confession of faith.
And another thing, too, you know, it talked about respect. Respect for your parents.
Mm-hmm.
She respects her parents.
That's right. That's
to learn
right.
from them, to glean from them.
Right.
And I think that's what's lacking these days is, you know, children respecting their parents. Parents are trying to be their children's friend instead of parenting.
That's good.
You know, and you need to be parents. And the other one it's talked about in that those verses was to keep the Sabbath days. You know, that means come to church, you know, online.
Forsake not the assembly.
Absolutely. Online viewing, virtual viewing is awesome. But it says, like you said, forsake not yourself, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So we need to come to the house of God, and we need to keep the Sabbath day holy. That means to come to church and worship God in spirit and in truth. And so those things are kind of intertwined, you know, with one another. And God expects us to mirror him, in his holiness. We have to make sure that we do that.
Okay. Any comments there that we need to recognize? Or okay. You read from 1 through 8, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. What's the next break that you
see? 9 through 18.
9 through 18. We're in Leviticus, the 19th chapter. For those of you who are just joining us, and Lady Kim has already read the first 8 verses, and she's corrected me about 3 times in the course of the first 15 minutes of the study. All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
We're in verse 9 of
and she keep kicking me
chapter.
Under the table, too. Somebody text her and tell her to leave me alone, please.
Somebody text him and tell him to leave me alone.
Oh, boy. All right.
Verse 9.
Verse number 9.
Of the 19th chapter.
All right. Just read that one verse, because I was thinking about something as I saw that, then pick it back up.
Okay. Verse 9 says, when you harvest your land, don't harvest right up to the edges of your field or gather the gleanings from your harvest. Don't strip your vineyard bare or go back and pick up the fallen grapes. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am God, your God. I think they had 9 and 10 together.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But that 9th verse really talks about when they were harvesting the harvest, how he was instructing them to leave something in the field for those who were poor or those who were not able to buy and receive grain at the market price. And one of the things that really struck out to me when I was in college up at Eureka College, well, I had the good fortune of the Lord leading me there. And so I met my lovely wife in Illinois.
Yes.
And I had about 3 different options to go to different schools, but the Lord wouldn't allow me to go anywhere.
Amen.
So while we were there, and you came to the campus, it was surrounded by these cornfields,
mm-hmm.
all these cornfields. And so, you know, one man who really inspired me in college was Glenn Riddell, one of my professors. And he would always, and you know, when I look back over it now, he saw something in me, you know, and he saw God in me. And even though I was running kind of wild back then and loose, he was always giving me inspiration and encouragement and talking about the word. And even though I had education and came from a household, mother and father were in the church, he was really, he saw something in me that really helped me to stay the course.
Amen.
But they would go out into the fields after they had after they had already gotten most of the corn, mm-hmm. and they had what they called gleaners mm-hmm. at the school, and they would go in and get all of those fragments and all of those. They would get bags and bags full of leftovers that were left in the field intentionally so that they could give and distribute them to other people who were in need. Amen. And so that's what I thought about when I when you read verse number 9, and I know it runs right into verse number 10.
Amen. And you know what I thought about when I read it? That Boaz, mm-hmm. In the book of Ruth,
right?
Ruth was allowed to glean. Oh, what's that? Naomi was allowed to glean in his fields,
mm-hmm.
and eventually became.
That was Ruth.
She eventually became his wife.
Right.
And so the book of Ruth reminded me of that. That Boaz. And he told the those that were working in the field to leave a lot,
right,
so
right.
that she could come and glean and have something to eat.
That's right. And so I think there's something for us there too, Lady Kim, because our Outreach Sunday speaks to that, mm-hmm. and we are not so caught up in trying to get all we can all we get and sit on the can that we forget about those who are food insecure, right. and who are less fortunate. And just like you talked about the group stopping in the park, you know, there's so many people out there who are hurting and who are going through. And God has given us proper resources in order to allow others to glean from that's what's left in our saucers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be mindful of that, because in doing so, we are blessed beyond measure.
Yes.
Sometimes people think that the blessing lies in getting all you can and not sharing it. But the blessing that God wants you to get, it lies in you releasing what he's already given you. And he's promised that he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory.
Yes.
The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you.
Good measure,
pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you give, it shall be given back to you again.
Yes.
I just feel that's a word for somebody tonight, Brother Kim, because somebody's trying to hold what they have and not release it in the hands of God. Just like the boy with the two fish and the five loaves of bread. That was his lunch,
mm-hmm.
you know, but he released that, and he was a tremendous blessing to other people.
Mm-hmm. And what I think of, what comes to my mind is, how can you receive with your hand closed?
Wow.
So if you have your hand closed with something in it, you will not be able to receive from God if you keep your hand closed. You have to give it.
You're too close to my face now. You almost hit me right there. You're right. You're right. You have to release it, because a closed fist will never receive the blessing that God has.
Absolutely.
Release. Somebody type, release it. Release it. Let it go.
Let it go.
Stop holding on to that which God has called you to release.
Amen. And you know, we are afraid if we give a nickel, we won't have that nickel anymore.
That's right.
But I promise you, God will give you a dime.
That's
or
right.
He'll give you
How
a
about,
dollar.
Hey, God.
You know, a
Glory
hundredfold.
Glory, God.
You
All
know,
right, now.
If he
Speak,
won't
Lady
double
Kim.
It, if he
Speak,
won't double
Dr.
it,
Murray.
It'll be a hundredfold.
Speak,
Glory
prophet.
To God. And you know what?
Prophetess.
I know for a fact for it to be true.
That's right. Release it and let it
Release
go.
Release it and let it go.
And watch God show up. And if he doesn't show up, he's going to send something your way that's going to confirm that you are doing the right thing.
Amen.
Don't hoard it. Don't keep it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go and let God have his way.
Yeah. And you know what? Every time I'm down to my last, and I think I'm down to my last, and I give it away.
Mm-hmm.
God does something amazing, you know.
What are you talking about? Your last what? Because your last money?
Yeah,
your last,
I can give you
your
a
last resource.
Specific example.
Okay, I'm just trying to help the people understand what you're saying there.
I give you a good example. One time, I think we were out. One of the police officers had been killed in the line of duty, and they were outside of Channel 5, you know, with buckets.
Okay.
You know, taking up money. And so as I rolled down Union Avenue that, mm-hmm. that time, I forget who was in the car with me, one of the grandkids.
And they asked, Nana, can we give something? I think I had $25 or something like that. I said, well, you know, all I got is this $20. All I got is this $20 bill. I ain't had no change. I didn't want to give it all, you know. And so I said, oh, well, you know. So I rolled down and I gave the $20 bill to whichever one of the grandkids it was for them to put in the bucket. And then I drove off. Well, that night we had Bible study at church.
Okay.
And when I got to Bible study, after Bible study, somebody came up to me. And they put $20 in my hand. And said, the Lord told me to give this to you. So as fast as I gave it away, he came right back. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Look at it.
So I've had several
examples
where I have given away what I consider my last that I had, you know, and God really did open up a miraculous blessing for me.
Okay. All right. That's great. And so we're still in Leviticus 19, and we just, we're at verse number, what was that, verse number 9?
9 and 10.
We were talking about then, mm-hmm. But you're going to go ahead and pick it back up and continue.
Yes, I'll read to verse 18.
Okay.
And this is so relevant today. You know, verse 11, we're in Leviticus, the 19th chapter. Don't steal, don't lie, don't deceive anyone.
Right.
Don't swear falsely using my name, violating the name of your God. I am God. Don't exploit your friend or rob him. Don't hold back the wages of a hired hand overnight. Don't curse the deaf. Don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind. Fear your God. I am God. Don't pervert justice. Don't show favoritism to either the poor or the great.
Mm-hmm.
Judge on the basis of what is right. Don't spread gossip and rumors. Don't just stand by when your neighbor's life is in danger. I am God. Don't secretly hate your neighbor. If you have something against him, get it out into the open. Otherwise, you're an accomplice in his guilt.
Wow.
Don't seek revenge or carry a grudge against any of your people. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am God.
Okay.
That was through verse 18.
That's powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's so relevant even today. And as we said earlier, we'll see that this is perhaps one of the greatest chapters in the Old Testament because it mirrors the same spirit of the Sermon on the Mount, as well as the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And as Lady Kim was reading that, you could see how it was bringing forth some things that even we can relate to today. And so I know you talked about how it's important for us not to take advantage of others and how we ought not mark people who are blind or who are crippled and going through. And you know how sometimes people would talk about people
mm-hmm.
and how they would use that as a joke or whatever. But these few verses that you just read really kind of brings clarity to all of that.
Amen. Yeah. Especially talk about gossip.
Gossip, yeah.
It's easy to fall into gossip,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it talks about spreading gossip and rumors. And, you know, with this Facebook and all these other mediums and platforms, it's easy to spread things that are rumors,
right,
or things that are not true. So we have to be careful with spreading rumors. I was online the other day and saw something somebody posted, and I knew it wasn't true. You know, so we have to be careful. I wanted so badly to tell that person, you need to check your sources because that's not true. But I let it go because, you know, it sometimes it's hard to
correct somebody and try to get them to see.
Right. And mm-hmm. they always make it political,
right,
you know, because it was something political. They were blaming Biden for the high gas prices. And, you know, they showed the gas prices in 2000 and, you know, just about, 5 years ago or 4 or 5 years ago and blamed him for the high gas prices now. But, you know,
it just wasn't true, because if they had just Googled it, because I Googled it, I okay. wanted to know if it, you know, if those prices were really,
if I'm in the back right there.
Were really, if those prices were really like they say, and they were.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. It was trying to get away from me. It was about to come off.
Oh, that's all right. Off.
Don't worry about it. Just let it go.
Let it go. Let it go. It's upside down. That's why you're having problems.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All
but
right.
Anyway. Yes.
But that's so true, Lady Kim. Even in life, I mean, we have to be mindful of what we say and how we say it, and be cautious about spreading half truths that we really haven't confirmed or tried to research to see whether it's worth sharing that or not.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So,
you left off at verse number 18?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And so, you know, verses 9 through 18 talked about, you know, how God wanted the Israelites to treat each other well and not take advantage of one another, and to care for each other's needs. And we still need to do that today.
Mm-hmm.
We need to care for each other's needs. We need to take care of each other. I remember when I was growing up, you know, we had our neighbors across the street, the Tatums.
Okay.
You know, and if Miss Tatum needed a cup of sugar, you know, she would send one of the kids, my mother say, run one of the kids over there and ask to borrow a cup of sugar. You know, if we needed a cup of flour or we needed some meal to make some cornbread, my mother would say, run across the street and ask Miss Tatum for a couple of cups of, you know, a couple of cups of meal or something like that. So we always shared with one another. And I think we've lost that as a people. We've lost that. We lost that as people of God.
Right,
and I
right.
think we need to get back to that. Some neighborhoods, we don't even know our neighbors. Amen. So, I'm sure we're still on the streaming side. We've had some difficulty on the Facebook side. We received a message saying that we're frozen. But we're going to continue on, because we know we have the streaming platform that we're on also. And so we're at verse number 19, and we nearing the end. We have about 10 minutes left. And so would you like me to read those last verses?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm trying to get him on the call to make sure that he can check everything, because we thought we had to clear all the issues up.
And so we're in the 19th chapter of Leviticus, verse number 19. It says, keep my decrees. Don't make two different kinds of animals. Don't plant your fields with two kinds of seeds. Don't wear clothes woven of two kinds of materials. If a man has sex with a slave girl who is engaged to another man but has not yet been ransomed or given her freedom, there must be an investigation. But they aren't to be put to death, because she wasn't free. The man must bring a compensation offering to God at the entrance of the tent of meetings, a ram of compensation. A priest will perform the ritual of atonement for him before God with the ram of compensation for the sin he has committed. Then he will stand forgiven of the sin he committed. When you enter the land and plant any kind of fruit tree, don't eat the fruit for 3 years. I thought this was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Don't eat the fruit for 3 years. Consider it inedible. By the fourth year, its fruit is holy, an offering of praise to God. Beginning in the fifth year, you can eat its fruit. You will have richer harvest this way. I am God, your God. Don't eat meat with blood in it. Don't practice divination or sorcery. Don't cut your hair on the sides of your head or trim your beard. Don't gash your bodies on behalf of the dead. Don't tattoo yourselves.
Uh-oh.
I am God. Don't violate your daughter by making her a whore. The whole country would soon become a brothel filled with sordid sex. Keep my Sabbaths and revere my sanctuary. I am God. Don't dabble in the occult or traffic with mediums. You'll pollute your souls. I am God, your God. Show respect to the aged. Honor the presence of an elder. Fear your God. I am God. When a foreigner lives with you in your land, don't take advantage of him. Treat the foreigner the same as a native. Love him like your own. Remember that you were once foreigners in Egypt. I am God, your God. Don't cheat when measuring length, weight, or quantity. Use honest scales and weights and measures. I am God, your God. I brought you out of Egypt. Keep all my decrees and all my laws. Yes, do them. I am God.
That's a lot in there.
A lot.
That's a mouthful.
A lot of miscellaneous laws.
Hope y'all are back connected with us. I think we resolved that issue. But I see some people are saying it's all clear. Is that right?
Yes.
So, Lady Kim, what jumped off the page for you in reading those last few verses of Leviticus? Because there's so much there. And this was the culture of that day and time. But it talked about the dress. It talked about your appearance. It talks about the moral conduct as it relates to how you ought to behave, even in your own family. And how many times when you release a person in your family, they were specifically talking about the daughter, that is a domino effect and causes a snowball or a ripple effect, if you will, in terms of behaviors in the community. So what would you say something that really kind of jumped off the page for you?
Well, that God wants us to observe his statutes and judgments.
Okay.
And that when we do them, then we're blessed.
Okay.
Jesus removed our sins and makes us clean. Like you said, it talks about a different time, an era in which they lived. And so, but sin is sin.
Okay.
So Jesus removed our sins and makes us clean. He gives us the opportunity to draw near to him, and is given to us so that we can have eternal life. Our sins do not get the final say. God gets the final say. He makes a way for us to be with him, and we are to accept God's gift. There's something greater here. God has the final say.
So. So these are kind of safeguards, if you will, for moral behavior. Would you agree with me on that?
Yes.
And the moral order of the day. And many times when we start conforming to the world, we miss the message that God is trying for us to live by, because we are trying to please the world and not please him.
Right.
And so I think this is very powerful chapter, and it's very rich in terms of things that were happening back then are continuing to happen today. Mm-hmm. And as you said, I think a couple of times, there's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And so we think that we're the inventors of some of the things, some of the drama that we're going through. But these people are going through some of the same foolishness that's happening even today.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to allow our behavior to match our belief, and we have to continue to trust God and know that he does have the final say-so in everything that we're doing. And I think he calls us to holy living and also to ethical conduct as it relates to our decision-making process. As a child of God and as the people of God, then I think these codes and these conducts, these reminders were set in place so that they would be the standard bearers.
Right.
And that the world would look to models that are following Christ and following God, so they know that that's the behavior that they ought to live by.
Amen. Sister Myra says something that I was just getting ready to say too, that the commands keep down confusion, contentments, and mistreatment, and honors God. Amen. And I want to add to that God put those restrictions in place on the Israelites as well as on us to comply with, so that those restrictions because they're essential to our identity.
That's right.
As Christians. And God has always wanted his people to have a unique identity separate from the rest of the world.
That's it. That's it.
So we need to make sure that our identity is not contrary, but different from the world's identity. Mm-hmm. The word says they will know we are Christians by our love. And right, there's so right. much hate in the world today, but they'll know we are Christians by our love, how we treat each other, how we treat people, how we react in different situations. So if you approve and affirm every behavior and every way of life, then, you know, we'll stand for anything.
That's right.
So we have to make sure that, like you always say, that our message matches our ministry.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's some very key words in this 19th chapter that we can really carry with us, as you've already indicated, how we should reflect God's character through our actions, through our attitude, through our relationships, and how important it is for us to show kindness toward each other, being honest and dealing with others,
mm-hmm.
treating all people with respect.
Amen.
I think that's part of what's coming up out of here. And by striving to live our lives according to these standards of holiness and righteousness, then we honor God and we demonstrate his love and his grace to those around us.
Amen.
So it's a demonstration and a manifestation mm-hmm. of the one who died that we might have life mm-hmm. and have it more abundantly. And so our attitude should be of such that we are trying to do what's pleasing in his sight.
Amen. We're striving to be Christ-like.
Christ-like.
Uh-huh.
Righteous means right living.
Right living.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. That's it.
Godliness means being Christ, like Christ.
That's
or Christ
it. That's
like.
It.
And you know, without restrictions to guide us away from ungodly and unholy behavior, we wouldn't know how to live.
Right.
We wouldn't have an identity.
That's those guardrails that I was
talking
about.
That's right. Those mm-hmm. guardrails. You know, they put up guardrails for a reason.
Right.
So you won't go over out of your lane.
That's
if you
right.
go out of your lane, you come back over
mm-hmm.
or you crash. So
right.
But they put guardrails in place for a reason. And God puts parameters and restrictions
in place for a reason. That's
we
it.
Have laws for a reason.
That's right.
Amen. So, you know, if you're struggling, if people are struggling, then they have an identity crisis.
Mm-hmm.
That means that they are maybe outside of the will of Christ.
All right. Well, our time has gotten away from us. We do apologize for the technical difficulties. Brother Michael is on the call now. He's getting a clear signal, and we don't know what the glitch was, but we thank each of you for bearing with us and for coming back online, and for those who continue to stay online doing on the streaming side. Isn't mm-hmm. that correct, Lady
Amen.
Kim? And so if there are any prayer requests tonight, you can go ahead and list those tonight as we prepare to close out with asking Dr. Kim to lead us in a word of prayer. Would you prefer to be called Dr. Kim, Dr. Murray,
I'm fine. Whatever people want to
call. Dr. I'm fine. That's what you're saying. I'm just trying to find out.
You know, it's just so strange.
Just
people
yeah.
at work are calling me Dr.
Right.
Dr. Murray.
Right.
And, you know, I just have to get used
That's
to it.
That's it.
But it sounds strange.
Yeah.
But it makes my heart smile every time they say Dr. Murray.
So which one would you like better, Dr. Murray or Dr. Kim?
Mm,
Dr. K?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
You like Dr. It doesn't matter better?
Again, we have prayer requests tonight. We want to lift up Sister Joyce Perkins and the loss of her sister-in-law. And then we want to lift up Sister Deborah Taylor and the loss of her cousin.
Okay. We're just certainly grateful again for all of you who were able to just stick with us through the technical difficulties. And we found out, I think this past week, that we have a lot of people on the streaming side that don't readily see
mm-hmm.
that are viewing. And so we're grateful for how our audience is growing.
Yes.
And Alabama, Upper Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
Lower Tennessee, all across the nation, California, Chicago. Why you keep kicking me, Reverend?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to kick you that time.
That time, all right. But we've gone past our time. But we're grateful, and we thank you for your continued support of this Monday Manna Bible study, and also for your continued prayers for us as we move forward and doing what God, Mississippi,
Amen.
In the house. That's right. That's right.
Amen.
So we have a very broad viewing audience, mm-hmm. and we're grateful for that.
Grateful. Yeah. Thank you for joining us for our Bible study as well as our worship service.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. Let us go to God in prayer on tonight. Precious Jesus, how we love you. We lift up our hearts and minds to you in prayer. We ask tonight, God, that you will be with the bereaved families that we have mentioned tonight, God. We lift up Joyce Perkins and her family as they grieve the loss of their sister-in-law, Dolores Sims. We ask, God, that you would be with the Sims family as they make final preparations. And we ask you to go by and give peace and comfort to the Taylor family in the loss of Sister Deborah's cousin, God, the first cousin that was more like a sister to her than a cousin. So we ask in the name of Jesus that you would just be with them. And I pray and lift up the Shelton family right now as they grieve the loss of another one of their loved ones, God. We ask that you would be with the Shelton family right now, God, and cover them and keep them, Lord. And God, anybody else who's grieving a loss, we ask that you would just touch them, God. We know that your word says weeping may endure for a night, but we ask that your joy come early in the morning. So we thank you tonight, God, and we lift up the sick to you tonight,
God.
Whatever they're struggling with, God, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would just heal every ailment, heal every disease, heal every sickness, heal every broken heart, heal every relationship, heal anything, oh God, that needs to be healed. And we thank you tonight, God, and we bless you because you are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise Amen. God.
Thank you for joining us tonight, everybody.
All right.
This weekend, anything coming up? I can't think of anything right now. Big Dre Barbecue tickets on sale. Don't forget.
Already?
Yes, Big Dre Barbecue will be in December. So
Is it be when?
I mean in June. In June.
All right.
Bye, y'all.